What's up, world?
It was good.
Chilling. That hour is kicking my butt right now.
Oh yeah, because it's daylight saving times in certain regions of the country, and then not, and then yeah, right. We're here. We're here. We all good. We good. We good in the hood. So wait, so we should introduce ourselves. So who are we? I am Sky. I am Fly. I'm from Southwest ATL, where the players dwell. Currently living my best life. No stress in the wild, wild west. And I'm with who?
What's up, world? It's your girl, Sills. VA all day, two up, two down. I'm a little sad because my high school lost by 1 point and they got robbed. But okay, that's a whole different conversation for another day.
You being emotional?
They were robbed. Petersburg was robbed. All right, I'm done.
Okay.
And yo, the recent people in my chat had something to say, so I just need to get that out. But chilling in the Northwest now. It's warm and the sun's out. So, I mean, it could be worse.
Define warm. 2 degrees?
No, it's like 40s, 50s, something like that.
Oh, wow. Look at y'all growing up, getting warm. But anyway, who are we? We are Shea Butter SC, a podcast featuring two Black women's perspectives on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin.
Lay your edges.
And deepen your love for all things Black women.
And we got guests.
We do. We do. Who are we doing first here?
I mean, we can introduce both guests.
We could. Yeah, so we have a special guest, part of the Two Cents Verse, Boss Man himself, Mr. Ty.
Hey.
Mr. Ty.
I keep forgetting you guys call me Boss Man and it like makes me laugh.
Lord Ty. So,
what's up?
Boss Ty.
Boss Ty.
I guess. Hi. I'm Ty.
And then we have another guest here with us. I don't know. What do you want us to call you? You have many names.
You don't have many names, really?
Yeah.
Well, do you want Sam? Do you want your government? Do you want Dream? What do you want? What do you want?
You've been on the internet too much. That's what's really going on.
We did our research.
Clearly, you've done the scouting report, and I have 6 names.
Hey, you got 50 billion. But yeah, tell the people who are you?
Sam is fine. Now, since we're casual, you know.
All right. So we have Sam Johnson with us. So it's a pretty big deal. Do you want to introduce yourself, Sam?
No, I want y'all to introduce me.
hey.
All right. Sky, I'll let you do it because you're better at that than I am.
Hey, so we got Sam Johnson on the podcast. Can you rep where you from? Like,
Palmdale, California. You didn't see that on the Wikipedia?
We don't do Wikipedia. We're better than that.
Yeah. Okay. Wait. So I do have a question because I am out here in Southern California. So do y'all got like a nickname for Palmdale? Do y'all be like, we the Palms or something like that?
Oh gosh, girl. So if you actually just Google Palmdale, California, you probably get something from Afro Man, which is our claim.
Yes. Okay.
You know. So that's besides myself. That's as good as we gonna get. Okay.
I would claim you before Afro Man. That makes you.
You know, and I've made it, truthfully, if that is the case.
Hey.
There you go.
Because I was going to be like, because I mean, people have never been to Palmdale. I try to describe it.
I have not, yeah.
No, don't even describe it. Just turn on Afro Man. They're going to be like, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry.
But I'm going to use that as a reference. Actually, that's a good reference to give a perspective of what Palmdale is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Afro Man. All right, cool. He spent a lot of time up here. That's why that's funny to me. Sorry.
Right.
So, all right. So, in this episode, we're going to do a variety of things. We're going to go through some segments. So, we got a couple, in segment one, we're going to do Shea Butter Tailgate meets Brown Sugar meets Soccer, but Soccer and Pimp My Ride. That's all complicated, but we're going to talk about soccer globally, locally. Okay. And we're going to learn more about Sam, how she fell in love with the game, and what she would like to see change. Mm-hmm. And then what we're going to do in segment two.
Okay. In segment two, because that was a lot. We're going to do Get Your Fits Right. It's a popular segment where we explore the intersections of Black culture and fashion on and off the pitch, mostly on. And then what are we doing in segment three?
In segment three, we're going to do a Shea Butter Word on the Street. We're going to explore the power of activism and why Sam is using her voice and company to empower communities around her.
And then we're going to wrap it up with the Shea Butter Freestyle, where we learn more about Sam off the pitch, her likes, and also do our hits and riffs and shout outs for the week.
All right. So we're going to get into it. Oh, yeah. Tyler's here. So
You've done that a couple weeks in a row now with the government
it's
name.
It's okay.
Don't y'all do my real government name like that, though. Uh-huh. But anyway. But my bad. But yeah, so as we're at the Shea Butter tailgate, you know, at the pregame, before we jump into the game, we gonna talk all kinds of stuff in terms of soccer. So, Sam, you play in the United States, in Australia, France, England, all over, globally. Can you describe what is, like, the style of play in these different places? Like, your perception of it?
Well, as you can imagine, America is very like run or gun, you know, so based on athleticism, and that's just because like the nature of our development system is kind of you know, if you're athletic, you do kind of have a better chance in making it as a professional. And then especially obviously most of us gone through the college system where there's a strong emphasis on like the science and, you know, being strong and fit and fast and stuff like that. So now that they're less, you know, the tactical side is less important, we just don't emphasize it enough in the youth side. So you tend to just get like really good athletes over really good soccer players in the collegiate system. And then at the pro level, you get a little bit of both. But the definitely the NWSL is more of on the athletic side. And then across everywhere that I've played, but America does put a strong emphasis on the tactical side of the game because they learn the game at such a young age because it's I think it's just more part of their culture. So they watch the game and, you know, they actually learn like the systems and the numbers and stuff at an earlier age. Whereas over here, that's less likely to happen. Like it does if you're on, you know, your coach does that, but that's less likely to happen. So I think that's kind of different. But since I've been over there, that they're actually putting more resources into the science because they're pretty much everyone's catching up to America when it comes to the physical side because they already got the football side down. So
Very cool, very cool. And then I guess to like, is there a place that you preferred where you played? So when you say like tactical, even that's like a bit different. Did you have a preference per se, or are you just like, I'm here for a good time?
So at the pro level, you're definitely not nowhere for a good time. That's your job. True. So, but I will say, obviously more teams are, you know, you do have better experiences. That's very real. But I think the team that had the most, or probably a balance of technical and tactical and the science all around it, was the team I trained with. And I wasn't signed with them. I was just training with them, called West Ham United.
We know West Ham.
Yeah. They had a good like emphasis on both. So obviously that's very a little bit scary for Americans because I had predicted basically that America wouldn't be very good in the next World Cup because everyone else is catching up.
Okay. Hey, that's fair. All right. And so we do know you have a focus on I might be assuming this, Europe in particular. So we wanted to get into that a little bit, because the Euros are coming up this year.
Yes.
So who, outside of the group of death, which is B, do you have...
Who are the groups? Do you have them in front of you?
Yeah, I do. So group A is England as host country. I did have them pulled up. I came prepared. So it's England, North. It's England, Norway, Austria, Northern Ireland. B is quote-unquote group of death, says Germany, Spain, Denmark, Finland. C is Netherlands, Sweden, Switzerland, Russia. D is France, Italy, Belgium, Iceland.
D sounds more difficult than B, actually.
I thought that was an intriguing group, especially having seen Iceland.
Yes, yeah.
But yeah, who are some of the teams that you think will have success? And then maybe give us one team that nobody's paying attention to that might sneak it, or at least get far in the tournament.
I think a team that probably people don't think are going to do as well, but are on the up and coming, is Italy, actually. And then I think Spain's going to win.
You think Spain's going to win?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. And I mean, I feel like a lot of people probably pick Spain.
Why does everyone think Spain's gonna win?
Really? Because I think people think Spain has been coming for a long time in terms of just their youth, and tactically they have the depth now. I mean, they have the players that they have. I think part of it's probably because people know the names of the players on that team.
They, their national team, the majority of them play for Barcelona, so they have an advantage of their core group playing together around the year. Mm-hmm. And they have the best player on their team in the world at the moment. Mm-hmm. And that's basically, yeah, the argument. Like, of course, but their team is basically, like, they still have a good mix of, like, the old people, like, people my age, and then the young ones who come in. So I'm mm-hmm. like, well, if your national team core plays together 9 months out of the year, all the time, you probably have a better chance at winning.
No, that's absolutely fair. Absolutely.
That's real. That's very real.
And do you have, like, right, again, names people know versus, like, is there a player on one of those teams that you're like, watch out for that person that we might not know? I don't know, you probably get to see more than we do up close, so.
No, not really. There's not one person that I can say that stands out, especially on the youth side, because I haven't learned, you know, all about them yet. But I think it would be very exciting, because I think people will get to see kind of both generations in one tournament, right? Like the old people, probably their last Euros or whatever, and then the young ones, you'll get to see who's coming up. So I think it'll be exciting.
Okay. Very cool. Thank you for that. We wanted to get into that a little bit. I probably should have had more more questions based on the Euros.
We'll see, but everyone should be watching it, because I think it's exciting.
And it's airing in the States, I think, on a streaming service everybody already gets. So
Well, you know, they had to do that. So they're gonna have to show the women's game a little bit more. They fixed Champions League, so now they're gonna have to show the Euros.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely. Finally. Thankfully. I'm excited. I'll definitely be watching. And then speaking of the game around the world, obviously most confederations are having qualifiers this year for the World Cup. Mm. Do you see any contenders coming out of that we're also not thinking of? So thinking of CONCACAF, CONMEBOL, CAF, AFC, like, are there any teams that you've been able to see that you're like, they might make some noise in the World Cup?
No, honestly, my entire focus is on America. I'm real worried for us, to be honest.
Ooh.
Not that we can't get it done, but it's just like, it's probably just going to be just like 2015, where we were the worst team, but we somehow just ran hard enough to win gold.
Like Simeone ball bad? Like, I don't know. Sorry. I'm like,
say what?
Like Simeone ball, where my joke is always like, I hate watching Simeone ball, but he wins every once in a while. So he's never got, it's terrible. It's horrible to watch, but like,
no, it's just like tactically, we're just not going to be up to par. Like, that's just what it is. But we are going to come looking the part and be the part. So,
okay.
You know, what I mean? That's never going to be the doubt, but Lord help us.
Uh-huh. Well, we might need it.
Because we got players, all the players on the pitch at the moment, except maybe the one or maybe three that might make the roster, have never been to a tournament. So it's going to be a little weird.
I think we've got to, get better in terms of how we fold in our young players and when we fold in our young players into.
Well, sink or swim, girls. Sink or swim. Here we go.
Right.
Also, that's frying pan into the fire.
right. So that's a good question for one of the next questions. What do you think are the tactical trends within the game across the globe, particularly as you're having the shift from to the outside attacking backs, more wing backs, and the decline of the true nine? Like, what do you think would need to happen, even from the United States perspective, in terms of how tactics are deployed to actually remain and be competitive? Particularly as people are catching up across the globe and, you know, they're actually adding the athleticism to the technicality. What do you think?
I mean, I think sometimes the game looks a little overcomplicated. So especially in the wide spaces, and I can only obviously make direct comparison between like the men's game and the women's game. So like it seems like on the men's game, because obviously they come up from tiny little kids, like learning how to properly play, you know, from a tactical perspective. And so it's not that they make well, I guess they do kind of make quote unquote better decisions only because they've learned the game differently than us, you know? So we learn late, like I was explaining, right? But sometimes in the wide spaces, like players, they don't like put an emphasis on, and it, again, it has to do with your principles. So if your principles don't say this, then obviously you wouldn't make this decision. But like, why wouldn't you create overloads? You know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't you cause more problems for the backs? And let me tell you, there's no, there's a shortage for some reason of good center backs in the world. So it's like, there's not very many good ones on the men's side or women's side.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that.
Like, it just is like a little bit baffling that the simple thing, like basic math, would not be, you know, emphasized.
I don't know. It's just strange.
It's just really strange to watch. I'm like, but obviously they're doing what they've been trained. So that's just.
You're speaking my language because I scream a lot, make defenders defend again. Like, I'm just like, well, we don't, like, the world doesn't, like, there aren't, I don't think I can name 10, I don't know if I have 10 center backs I trust in.
I know, I can only name one, but she's not European, she's in Canada, Khadija.
Oh, yeah.
And she's actually a very good defender because she actually defends, you know, but, like, but even then, like, bless her heart, I'm surprised she's even as good at defending because her club team, she never has to defend. You know what I'm saying?
So
good for you for actually sticking to your craft.
Right. You know? Yeah, but you're right. Like, it's, you can name maybe a couple, but yeah, Khadija definitely comes to mind. We're big fans of hers. But especially in the Arnold Clark Cup, like, she was really good. Yeah.
I think she's the best in the world, but defenders don't really get hype like that, you know? So hopefully, like, when she goes to the next World Tournament, World Cup, or whatever they got going on next, and she hopefully can have a good tournament and, like, you know, get some accolades because she needs them.
I agree wholeheartedly. Well, this is a darn good conversation so far. But now I like, seriously, I agree about the defending, like, you're speaking my language.
Honestly, because I stand out there, I'm like, man, this is cake, man. I don't have to do anything because no one wants to run. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, gosh, I would love to actually do my job, but if I don't have to do it, I'm cool
with that. Wow, that's interesting. So as a defender, you're like, I don't feel like I have to defend all that often.
Not really. The ones in the wide spaces, obviously they have to defend more, but like coming down centrally, not as often. Not really. Are you really like in a last stitch moment? You know what I'm saying? Not as often, but the wide spaces, and even if the wide spaces are fine, because I mean, gosh, you got wingers out there trying to be outside back. So I'm just telling you.
Well, there.
That's the trend though, right? Like, so many.
No, I think it's a good, I think it's good. I think because you want people to attack and blase blase. But then at the end of the day, like, if you are listed as a defender, you have to defend first. So.
Right.
Yeah. I agree. You are a defender,
right? You can learn defending technique. What you can't learn is the mentality. So if you can find an outside, like a winger who has the mentality to defend, then she can be a very good outside back.
Okay. That was really honest. Like, as a defender, you were like, oh, I don't usually have to. And I agree. I don't think people play through the middle as much anymore either.
Right.
Which is probably why Spain's a problem, because Alexia's central. But and can flip it out. But yeah, that's a very good perspective. Thanks. Like, I'm genuinely like more
talented. Yeah, but so that's interesting because like, so when I was in high school and I played and I was center back and goalkeeper because nobody wanted to dive. It's interesting. I can see what you're saying, where people, like, how I approach it was just like playing basketball, because that's what I played first. And like, I would like try to go and shut people down from like even just coming to me, because it's like, well, I'm only so tall, so, you know, I can't dive, whatever. But yeah, people wouldn't, you know, come centrally. They would go to the wide sides of the field. That's interesting.
Yeah,
it's interesting perspective to see that.
It's just like a trend, because obviously you can, you know, when I was talking about athleticism, like, you can put more athleticism behind your play if you're in wide spaces, but you can put more tactical, your brain into the, in the middle space, if you don't have as much time and space, you know?
Right. That's part of what my thinking would be in terms of like somebody trying to attack. I would just go out and go meet them and be like, you got to make a quick decision. Are you going to shoot? Or am I going to take the ball off of you? And that's interesting. I wonder if coaches will like take time to like think about that and exploit that tendency to then just overload centrally.
It takes time, you know, to teach teams tactically. It takes time to get like your system down and get your team to perform. So the only team because I obviously paid attention to the FAWSL most recently, just because I was there. And so the team that does it very good there is obviously Arsenal, but the best player on their team plays in between the 18s. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
yeah.
Right.
Well, obviously they're going to go centrally.
Right.
In the middle of the pitch, you know, so.
Very fair, very true. Okay, so you touched on this a little bit, and I don't know if you have a direct answer for this, but like in terms of stateside, right, you talked about the emphasis on athleticism, but like what's like one immediate thing that you would want to see changed in the US system in terms of be tactically or
at which level? What do you mean? Like in youth development or already at the pro level? Like
all of them. Well, you
I would say you, I guess youth is where you would start, right?
Okay, like,
what's the one change you would make?
I would probably have coaches be teaching like more in the classroom. And having the players look at like the game from a world perspective. So watching clips that are like, you know, the FAWSL and teams that are across the world and not just pulling clips from, you know, wherever. I don't know where they're pulling clips or if they're doing it now, but I would just put in a global perspective. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then just put like a strong emphasis on like kids having to write down the systems and learn the systems and ask questions when they're just sitting there, because you can't really ask questions when you're on the pitch because it's too late. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
you can't really learn like the strides that you need to make when you're younger. You have to sit down and talk about it versus be on the pitch. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah.
So like more film, more classroom.
Have to be so strong, because I know the other sports here, like basketball, football especially, they spend so much time in the film, and that's because like that's the nature of their sport, and ours is like that at the highest level, but that's because we already have such like a strong knowledge base, you know. But I feel like if we the kids, if they want to get to our level and be successful and play longer, because you can play longer if you have a brain, and you can't play long if you only have your body, you know. So it's so maybe if they learn the systems, and they learn all the systems, do you know what I'm saying? Not just the basic four.
Right.
Like there's more systems
out there. Ooh, please.
Preach that, serve it. Yes. Yeah,
that might help. So they know, like as they get up in the levels, they're not surprised by like, well, why is my coach asking me to do this? And even in one system, you can play one system so many different ways, you know? So,
Absolutely. All right. Well, no, this has been an awesome start. We're going to pivot just a bit to get to start to get to know you a little more. Obviously soccer, or do you care soccer, football, by the way? I just should have asked
that. It depends on what country I'm in. So, right now we call it soccer.
All right.
Okay.
But we're just going to pivot a little bit. So part of Sky's very long intro to segment one is part of our interviews are, we reference Brown Sugar, the movie, with Sanaa Lathan and Taye Diggs, and we play off of the opening line, "When did you fall in love with hip hop?" So we're gonna ask you, Sam, when did you fall in love with soccer?
Okay, I am not sure. Probably like at a very young age, I realized I probably saw the game a little differently than most, because I would come home when I was like 7 or 8 crying from training because my friends weren't taking training seriously.
Oh, no. And
my mom was like, you know, it's okay. She probably was like, what the hell? It's weird. But I was like crying because I was like taking it so seriously, and they were just like, you know, not. And so she probably realized before I did, like, okay, this kid is different, and she, you know, really cares about the sport. And then maybe when I was not even a couple years later, I realized, okay, like I realized what I was playing, I was happy. So
very nice. Do you still get mad at your teammates for not training?
No, I get my check and I go home, man.
I respect that.
Hell no. They can mess around if they want, but I'm like, no, I'm gonna do my job. Right. Go home.
I understand. I'm glad we've made that transition. Just for your own personal
absolutely
opinion.
Not.
And then what was it like growing up in Southern California? Playing, like, what your teams look like? What was your league like, or your leagues, or did you play in the school system? That kind of thing.
Yeah, so when I was younger, the majority of my playing career was in the club system, so like travel. And then I played high school seasons once I got there, but the majority of the time until I got to high school was all club soccer. There was a lot of hours, and you know, I was in the car because I'm from Palmdale, but I played when I turned 13 or 14, I started playing on a team called Real SoCal, mm-hmm. which is in Thousand Oaks. So I had to drive there for training.
Oh, okay.
3 times a week. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's... So, and I mean, my teams, what do my teams look like? So in Palmdale, it's mostly Hispanic people, or maybe a couple of white girls that play, and then myself, of course. But it's mostly Hispanics, because we have a lot of Hispanics where I'm from. Mm-hmm. And then on my club team, as I got older, it was like mostly white girls, and then me, another girl, were black. And then who, we had, I think we had like one or two Hispanic girls, but it was mostly white girls. But that's because like the youth infrastructure is expensive, really expensive to play, you know? So it's like the economic demographic that it reflects that, because it costs like $3,000 to play, you know, each year. So, and that doesn't include like tournament, going traveling tournaments and stuff. So obviously that's why, like, you know, as you saw before, that's why the demographics look the way they look, just because obviously naturally on paper, like if it's mostly white people in a certain demographic, then they just can, if they can afford it, then they can play, you know?
So. Right. Yeah, it's pay to play, right? Like it's...
Yeah, that's how it is for you side.
Yeah. Pay to play. And then, okay. So following your career, why did you choose to play at USC, and what was that experience like?
Yes, I did not choose. USC chose me.
Sorry, my fault.
No, it's going to get weird because I wanted to play at UCLA.
Oh, okay.
Well, okay. I was growing up, UCLA was the powerhouse program, you know? So I was all I want to do is play there. There was a girl there who I liked, what was her name? Denisha Adams, I think.
Mm. And okay. So
she played, and she was my position, and there's a few, and Lauren Holiday was there as well. And
we are very big Lauren Holiday fans. Sorry, continue.
And so that whole era was there, and so they were just very good, obviously. Yeah, and so right. I want to play there. And then I think at the time Jill Ellis was the coach, and so she recruited my best friend, actually a girl who came out of Las Vegas, and so she went there. And then USC was like just popped out of nowhere when I was like in 10th grade. I was like, oh, does Sam want to take a visit? And my coach was like, oh, USC called about you. And I was like, they got a soccer team?
I didn't even know
they had a soccer team, to be honest. I was like, oh, I didn't know they did any other sports besides football. But okay. I was like, oh, I guess I'll just go over there then. And so they offered me a full scholarship. I was like, sure, why not?
Hey.
And so in 10th grade, I committed to go to USC.
Oh, okay.
Go where the money is. I work in higher ed, so I'm like, go where the money is. But what was your experience like there, when she got there?
Yeah, what was it like playing there?
Oh my God, it was horrible. It was so hard and difficult. Like, because my coach is, he was really, really, really like, demanding as well. Like he was crazy, for real, he was so crazy. So basically it was just so hard for us players to like love what we did, because it just wasn't fun. Like it wasn't fun at all, you know? You basically got like screamed at every single day, like you didn't know what were you gonna have to face, and it was just like difficult. Like so soccer was extremely, extremely hard. So that's why I quit when I graduated, because I was like, I'm not ever doing this ever again. But yeah,
no, I appreciate the honesty, and I am sorry that y'all went through a sucky experience, and I'm sorry that is more normal in a US soccer than it should
be. Yeah, I know. It wasn't just you know, USC. Like there's a lot of programs that are really, really challenging, and I think they forget like we're children, and like we don't really know anything, you know? We just have this weird talent, like, and that's why we're actually at school.
Right.
Help us become like good people and players, you know? I think they forget it, but yeah,
the education part, or the like learning to grow in a somewhat contained environment part. Yes. But I appreciate you being willing to share that part of the experience, because again, a lot of people experience it that way, and so we do appreciate that. And then again, we'll keep going through your journey. And we said you've been in several pro leagues, but in any of those leagues, did you have a, we like to call them welcome to the league moments, either on the receiving end, or did you like bust, for lack of a better term, bust somebody's ass, or did you get your ass busted? But is there a moment where you're like, oh shit, it's the pros?
Yes. So those moments came for me because so most of my career I was an attacker, and then when I became pro, I became center back. So I was kind of learning on the fly.
Oh Lord.
So yeah. Okay. So the first game, and obviously center back is not like any other position. It's not like, oh, you can just go from being a winger to an outside back and no one's gonna know. Like, no, someone's gonna know that you are not a center back the moment they see you play, you know?
Yeah.
So the first game that I played, or I guess the second game, the first game I started at center back was against Kansas City, the original Kansas City team at the time. And it was all of the Olympians and the World Cup players. It literally was like Amy Rodriguez, Lauren Holiday, and they had, I think Amy LaPelvet was playing. If she wasn't playing, she was on the bench. But they had just like everyone who had just gone to the World Cup, basically, yes. You know? And so I'm out there trying to learn how to play center back against Amy Rodriguez in her prime. No big deal. And so thankfully, we only lost 1-0. Yes, the one goal is my fault. But like, I was just like, oh, okay. So obviously in games like that, it's really easy to learn because you make one mistake and you realize, okay, that's how easy it is to get scored on. So you right. learn like, okay, but just don't do the same, you know, goofy thing over again and you'll be fine. So
okay.
Once I got through that, it was pretty fine. And then I got later on in the season, I had a season ending injury because I got kicked in the face. But
oh, geez.
Yeah. So that
remember
was
tough. That? Oh gosh. I got to think about
it. Yeah. It was really, 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 really tough. Like it was so, actually it was a girl from Spain. She'll be in the Euros. Yeah. So she, a girl named Vicky Losada, actually.
Very good. We know Vicky.
Vicky is actually a very, very good, obviously she's, you know, we're on the older side of things now. So yeah. This might be like her last go around.
Yeah. I think so.
But you know what I mean? So you know, Spanish players are, they be doing wild ass shit with their feet. And so she tried to like backheel something, right? And like in the air. And so me being a center back, I've just tried to head the ball when she tried to backheel something. And, I cut all the studs to the face.
Oh God, I feel that right now. Oh,
broke my nose, ripped my forehead open, like blood everywhere.
Oh God, oh man.
Like your description, like my head hurts. Like,
no, it was. And it's funny because I didn't cry, but probably because I was so worried about my brand in my face. I was like, oh my God, I have no skills at center back. Now I'm ugly. I'm going nowhere. Oh my God, it was so horrible.
And facial stuff's so hard to like, it takes forever when your nose is broken and like right. face stuff, it takes.
Yeah, your forehead ripped out. Yeah.
Crazy. I'm talking about, I look like, what's the girl? What's the Avatar girl?
Oh. Wow.
Because I had no nose, it was just flat.
Oh man, oh God. Oh,
God.
Yeah, it was pretty jacked up. But
you have to wear the mask at some point.
So if I didn't split my forehead open, I would have done that because I could have played, but I couldn't play the rest of the season because I split my forehead open. So they were like, well, you can't head the ball, so you can't play. So I didn't have to wear the mask. Okay. I didn't fit it or nothing, but I got a free nose job on the end of the show.
Hey.
We made it.
And it turned out okay. So in the end.
Oh yeah, it turned out more than okay. I had the greatest doctor. He was like, so you want me to put a little sum in there while you're under? I was like, yo, hook it up. It ain't on my dime. What you gotta do? So yeah, he hooked it up.
Oh, that was amazing. Thank you. That's a great story.
Wait, I have a question. Do you have a moment where you did something where it was like, yeah, I got her? Like you either stop somebody from scoring.
Girl, what you talking about? Every day I was whooping my teammates ass in training. I was whooping up everybody and they were like, dang, I don't even want to play against Sam.
That's
like,
what I'm talking about. Okay.
You know? That's the kind of energy I like.
I was like, good, don't come near me.
Hey, that's what's up. Okay, so you said those are shea butter bricks as a defender, to be stopping and preventing any type of scoring opportunity. That's a brick. Yeah. That's a greatness. That's what's up. That's fire.
And then, and I guess I have a question about that too, like growing up, or even as your career has gone along, like you mentioned Buchanan earlier, but like when you were growing up, were there defenders or attackers that like you looked up to in the game or that you modeled your game after?
No, not really. The only player that I like could relate to, she kind of looked like me, was Shannon Box.
Okay.
So she was a midfielder and I played attacker and midfielder. So I thought, like, when I was really small, like, I thought that was cool, you know, because I was like, well, obviously I can see someone doing what I want to do. And then, but I didn't really watch women's soccer because it wasn't as accessible. Like, we only watched the national team, obviously. And so it wasn't like there was a pro league you can just watch. Like, it was always like, it's here, then it's not here, you know? So I didn't really watch women's, you know, soccer until I was playing pretty much and had to watch myself play on film. And then I watched, everything I watched was EPL. And I watched
did you have a favorite defender from EPL or attacker
from the EPL? My favorite defender was actually, he was in Barcelona. It was named Carlos Puyol.
Puyol, I know Puyol. I'm a Real Madrid fan, but I'll let it go. He was
very, very just like intense, you know. And I wasn't even a defender back in the day, but I just thought, whoa, that guy is like, I would hate to go against him, you know. He was very intense. So
I have a lot of nightmares about Puyol, but that's fine. very cool. Cool. But yeah, Sky, do you have anything else?
Oh no, that's, I mean, we could ask, like, do you have like a Shea Butter, like a Black people best 11, if you can build a squad?
Globally, you can go
globally.
Obviously. okay, let me think.
And you are free to put yourself in the Shea Butter
best. I ain't gonna nap on myself. Come on now. let me think. Okay, goalkeeper. No, actually, I take that back. Let's start with the back line. So, by the way, we are playing 4-3-3.
Okay, that's fair. We can switch it up later. We can switch it up there.
I gotta have Crystal done.
Okay.
I gotta have me and Khadijah as the center backs.
Okay.
And then on the right side, you know, there's a girl. She's not Black, but she's brown, so she counts. She's on Paris Saint-Germain, and God forgive me, I can't even remember her name, but she is basically the best outside back in the world at this moment. So Paris Saint-Germain, what is this little girl's name? I don't even know.
Is it it's not,
she got long brown ponytail.
Did Maroney go to PSG? Man, I gotta remember.
Yeah, but she plays left back, so we're gonna put Crystal on the right because this girl's left
back. She can play wherever. Crystal can play wherever.
Yeah. Crystal can play anywhere, so it doesn't even matter, you know. Okay, her. And then at the six, I'm going to have to bring my girl Formiga out of retirement.
Yes, ma'am. We love Formiga.
Let's go.
Absolutely.
I just have to do it. Oh, and she would, too. She'd show up.
Oh, you talking about Kachawi, by the way? I think you're talking about
Kachawi. Who else? I really like, there's a girl, you know what? Let me think. There's a girl that plays for, is it Costa Rica or Chile? I'm so racist, I don't even know the difference. She plays in the NWSL. Her name's Rocky.
Oh, Rocky. Okay, Rodriguez. Okay, Costa Rica.
Costa Rica.
Yeah, so I need her at the 10 just because she's, for me, underrated and phenomenal, right? And then who can be my 8? My link to the stuff. I need to put Kristen Press at the 9. And then I need to put one girl. Another girl on PSG.
Katoto or Diani?
No. Katoto, actually, she can sit on my bench. That's for sure.
Are you talking about Baltimore? Or
no, the first one, Katani.
Oh, Diani.
Yeah, she's a winger for me. And then, you know, the girl from Iceland, the Black girl?
John's daughter. We got to see her. Yes.
She's all right. So I like her. She's on the left.
So that's front line. Yeah, y'all scoring a lot.
And then at the 8, there's a little young girl. She doesn't really play the 8, but whatever. We can play 2 10s. She's called Kyra Cooney Cross. She's Australian. And I think she's something. Islander. Okay. You know how it is. I don't know what they just call her. She has fans. I'll put her on the field.
Lineage. Yes, lineage.
Yeah, lineage. You know, I don't know.
It's in the diasporas up there somewhere. Okay.
She got that plum tree. She got the plum tree lineage. That's why it works.
She got something happening. And then I guess, seeing goalkeepers, I'm a little stuck because I don't know very many goalkeepers, to be honest.
And there's probably not, there's not a ton of
black. It's not a lot of black ones.
There's not really many. I was trying to think of the African teams and the, even Brazil, but they're not very tall. And I like tall goalkeepers.
The tallest one I can think of is Fallon.
Yeah,
for Fallon's 6'1".
Yeah. So we can throw her in there, I guess. Okay. So my bench would be just stupid, you know. So I got Katoto coming off the bench. Stop it now.
Okay.
That's just ridiculous.
I'm a Katoto stan, but yes, spring her in the 70th minute just to dunk on people.
Basically, that's what she does. Actually, oh my God, when I played against her when I was in France, I was like, bro, you are huge. Like, this is just a joke. So big. Like she's literally like a horse, like a stallion. And I'm like, oh no.
Not doing that.
I'm like, we're gonna have to get these ankles because I can't be chasing you all day.
I understand. No, got to make a business decision on that one.
First 5 minutes, I just stepped on her crunch. Sorry, I just can't. Like, I'm too old to be doing this. No, ma'am.
But yeah. That's a young person's defensive job right there.
Okay, like, I was like, can somebody get this? This is like the year 2000. I'm born in 91. Somebody, year 2000. God, help me.
Yo.
Oh God!
Start being like, yo, it's about that time.
Sam, I'm not laughing. I'm not laughing like this.
Born after 2000, want to handle her because I'm too old.
Oh, that's hilarious. Mm. I feel that as an older person. I
feel that. Yeah. Be like, yeah, it's my time, man.
I see Thiago Silva out here, 37, defending. I'm like,
sir. He gives me hope, and he looks great.
He does, but I'm like, sir,
phenomenal. Yeah,
I pulled a muscle getting out of bed this morning, but you go ahead.
What's his name? Is it Fernandinho?
Yeah. Yeah. I know you're talking about.
He's a six, and every time he plays, he looks like he's fine. Like I'm like, and he does all of the work.
Yeah.
Like wow, he's like 36 or 70.
Yeah.
Dang. Okay.
Yeah. I feel you on that, but that's a solid. I mean, I think y'all are beating just about everybody with that.
Yeah.
With that lineup, so thank you for that. Woo. So, we're gonna. Yo, you want to go lead us in?
I thought we were gonna do a break.
That's what I meant.
Okay, yeah, so we're gonna do a
break because I just been sitting out here just listening. And
I forgot you were here.
I told you I didn't want to be the creeper.
And then you ended up being the creeper.
Oh, right. See, that is not on me though.
You gotta be aggressive. You gotta just jump in there.
You gotta jump in.
I guess. I just been enjoying just the banter and the conversation. It's been fantastic.
I've been laughing. Oh God. Thank you.
Laughing. But we're gonna take a quick break. And then we're gonna be back with some Get Your Fits Right.
Yes.
And some Shea Butter Word on the Street, and then we're gonna be up out of here.
Yes.
But we'll be right back. Welcome back.
I didn't sing the whole song.
See, that's funny. But anyway, all right, so we back. We back in the streets. We back on the, not in the streets, we back on the mic. See?
Yes.
Wow. Anyway, so it's about that time for Shea Butter, Get Your Fits Right, where we're going to talk about everything from kicks to fits to whatever, headwear, everything in between in terms of soccer, on and off the pitch from a black perspective. So let's get into it. So we're going to talk about some fashion. So, what would you like to see, Sam, from a pre-game, post-game apparel type of thing for players, fashion situation? I was trying to say situation, but let me just embrace it. What would you like to see from the post-game, pre-game apparel for players? What would you like to see to add some flavor? Or do you like what people...
What do you mean apparel for players? Like what they provide us?
What they provide? To or even having freedom to rock whatever you want to post a pregame.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen what like the Seattle team wears before their games, like their photos and stuff?
Yes. Actually,
some of them are really well dressed. There should be like an award or something for that.
Yes.
Because Ziara.
Yes. Yes.
She has the best fashion, I think, on her team, probably in the league, to be honest. So them and then Gotham. They have some good pre-game runway catwalk little things happening. So I appreciate that the league lets people, you know, show up however they are. I think it would be cool if maybe, because they do give us like each team or, you know, club, whatever, has like their little warm-up jackets. Mm-hmm. But like, I think it would be kind of cool to have like a universal warm-up jacket for each club. And they could maybe do a collaboration with Off-White. And to do like, because I know Off-White did a collaboration with Jordan. I think they made a shoe or something, like one shoe or something. But I think from like, you know, doing something that's specifically for soccer / football on like globally, that would be kind of
okay.
Cool. Yeah.
Okay. Actually, that would be, fire.
Like our warm-up jacket pretty much, that like maybe it would be like a day, whatever the day would be or something. And then everyone wears the same jacket and it's for whatever we're trying to raise awareness about, you know?
Okay.
Oh, right. Actually, that tied into the next question, because you talked about potential collaborations. Like, in terms of a kit, would there to, like, bring awareness to something, or even from a fashion perspective, any other kind of collaborations, what would you like to see in terms of collaborations, in terms of what you would have, like, on an actual kit that you're wearing?
No, actually, I think it would be that. It would be, like, the Off-White and Nike thing, but specifically for soccer.
Okay.
Yeah. So it could be, because I know soccer obviously is using the platform to, especially in Europe, like to combat racism and just raise awareness of like, obviously in the game / we should use the game to kind of like combat, you know, that thing or whatever, which is cool. But I'm like, well, that would be even cooler, obviously, if we put fashion behind it, because then you can create more like off the pitch opportunities, right? You know, so
yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I guess I'm making an assumption here. You were sneakerhead, Sam?
No. Okay. I am not. I am like very fashionista, yes, but okay. More from like just a creative, put my stuff together standpoint, not like I collect shoes. And no offense to those who do, but you culty, weird people who collect shoes.
There she is. I am not.
I said it. All you weirdos who have shoes in a box that you don't even touch, that is weird.
I actually wear my shoes.
If you wear them, fine. Okay. But you know how many people that I know who have like over 200 pair of sneakers?
And they don't wear them?
No, they're afraid to. God forbid you get a crease in one of your
shoes. That's what I've known of sneakerheads. Sky, you're like one of the first sneakerheads I know that actually wears their sneakers.
Yeah, wear my shoes. These shoes ain't here. Look, I'm trying to let people, like I said, my shoes are so fire. I need people in Mars to see them joints. So they're going to be out here in the streets.
They're doing it the right way. But the weirdo weirdos, the real sneakerheads.
I feel like you want to add somebody, right?
It's a museum of shoes. I'm like, no, stop it now. Yeah.
I'm not a sneakerhead one, because I'm not gonna lie, I'm not super fashionista person in general.
That girl, but you know, I don't stack in my closet with 900 pair of sneakers I ain't gonna wear.
It's also a very expensive hobby.
Yeah, that's like, an expensive ass hobby.
I can't afford it.
The shoes break apart. Why would you do that? I feel that. So okay. So I do have a question. So in terms of, so would you want to see that Off-White kind of concepts even translate to like some kicks too?
Although, it would have to be the whole kit.
Okay, cool.
Like,
all right.
Yeah. So they would give you like an away kit and a whatever, you know, away. It would be like three. It'd give you three. They could just do, and I, you know, we would obviously, if we wanted to, I guess, wear one for the sake of whatever the event or day is, but probably we'd just wear the jacket and we just like sell the kit, to be honest.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Word. Yeah.
Okay. So that's right. Actually sounds fire.
Yeah. All right. Let's go.
Okay, so all right. So how do you manage your hair?
In game. Yeah.
Oh, I wear weaves.
Okay.
All right. So
I've been wearing weaves since I was like, I guess early 20s, like right when I got to college. Mm-hmm. I went like hybrid, like sometimes not, sometimes, but then I just went full weave because I was like, it's so much easier, okay. You know? Yeah.
It's a good it's a good protective style to wear.
Yeah, it is true.
In game. Yeah.
So how is it like, particularly being international playing, mm-hmm. you know, finding Black hair care spots and products?
Oh, girl, Africans are everywhere. There's no shortage of them. I got Nigerian women across the world, honey, doing my stuff. I got a girl in Melbourne, Australia, France, London.
Okay. All right. That's what's
the first thing I do when I switch countries is I go find my hairstylist.
Important information. Thank you.
And when I'm in America, I only have one woman that touches my hair. She's in Chicago. Her name's Latoya. And I have flown from training and missed a day to train to go do my hair. I'm not even being
funny. I feel that.
Thank you.
My coach was like, "You're going where?" I'm like, "I'm sorry, I have to get my hair done." My coach was like, "Okay."
Important
things. Like, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll be back in a day. Yeah, that's important. That's a legit.
Your hair person, your eyebrow lady, and who else? Like, yeah,
you gotta have that line. You know, the hair was, people were like, "Gosh, how do you get your hair done overseas?" I'm like, Africans, girl, they everywhere. They are everywhere. Okay, so trust me, you'll find her if you're looking for her.
The way I learned there were people from the continent in Ukraine. Respectfully, I was like, oh, there's a lot of Africans in Ukraine. Didn't know that. Literally everywhere. Yeah. Mariah said the same thing, and she's in like Denmark, and she's like, I still found a hair person.
Honestly, you just gotta look it up. You know what I mean? And it's totally accessible. It really is.
No, that's definitely. It's definitely what's up. Okay, I guess still on that a little bit of Banat, how what are ways that you would like to see like community and supporter groups incorporated either with fashion or like culturally? I think particularly with the emphasis on supporters of color, how would you like to see them incorporated into the game to make, I guess, the game day environment a little more diverse or a little catering more to larger groups of people? Is that I wrote that out. Yeah.
Yes, it does make sense. And however, I'm going to say something backwards, actually. Okay. So I would like to see more of, in general, whatever your, you know, cause is, right? So most people kind of have a thing that makes them tick and they want, you know, to change whatever. Okay, that's fine. That's good. But if I don't see that on your day-to-day social media, and then you're saying it, you know, like on someone else's platform or something, I don't believe you. Do you know what I'm saying? So if you're saying like, for example, like my whole brand is like for the kids and education, and my whole thing is like be better, blah, 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 right? If that's not in my everyday or like something that I'm actually authentically trying to help change, whatever the word is, I can't then go to my soccer games and expect the end of itself to scream it louder than I do. Does that make sense?
No. Yes, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. So like, I think players, people, whatever, like especially athletes, like we, sometimes I feel a little bit afraid to use our own platform, but we'll be super loud on other people's platforms. I'm like, that's phony and fake, and I don't ever want to see that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
right. How are you screaming on someone else's platform when you don't even have this on your own Instagram? Right, you know,
gotcha.
I'm like, that's weird. So like from an inclusion standpoint, I'm like, I don't think we need to force like certain things to be in certain places. I think that like people forget, like, obviously from a fan experience is different, and from our perspective as players is different, because we show up and this is our job. So you guys actually come to our work, you know what I mean,
type of thing.
So we want you guys to enjoy it and feel included, and what should probably be there obviously is like things that are more inclusive. Yes. Now can I name everything? No, because obviously each market's different, but I do agree there should be a balance of certain things. Like I don't think there should be like you know, only like one maybe gender specific or race specific like type of like thing there, because obviously that creates exclusion for others. You know, they can't relate to certain things. But at the same time, you're there for a sport. You're there for soccer. Mm. So soccer is the number one sport in the world. Like it is inclusive. You know what I mean? Like it's
right.
Every single level from like the dirty streets of Brazil, you know what I'm saying? Where they literally make soccer balls out of trash, all the way up to what we're doing in America, where we pay $3,000 a year for our kids to play. You know what I'm saying? It's like, soccer's not hard culture. We just make it difficult because we're America.
Right. Right.
We like to do. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I completely agree. We make it much more. The game is for, I mean, our, one of the things we say, it's the game is for everybody. Like, it's not complicated, right?
Nothing for people right. to play, you know?
Because, like, you don't even need a legitimate ball. All you need is a ball-like entity thing.
I'm telling you, like, the game itself naturally is inclusive.
Right.
You know? But we try to make it seem like, oh, only certain people, but, well, no, yeah. that's not true. Not true, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm like, yeah, I will be excited the day we can have like a Maradona, right? Like, just kid that comes from this, you know, this to be able to play at the highest level.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I think that's really hard in this country, but yeah. but yeah, and I think kind of answer our next question, going into that too. So we're gonna hop into section three, I guess.
Yes, into the word on the street. Wait, you can start it off then.
Okay, I will start
actually,
it off, and this is
because actually that question even bleeds back to what you just talked about.
Yeah, so I was saying, like, I don't answer the next question, we don't mind that at all, but this is where you get to talk a little bit more about what you are doing, so we want to make sure we give you the platform to do that as well. Mm-hmm. So I guess from a coverage standpoint, for women's soccer, what would you like to see in the form of storytelling and media coverage in order to empower players, to help with their, you know, activism, brand, whatever that looks like, and then I'll let you answer that part first.
Okay. Storytelling, I think that, well, again, I think there's a lot of players that have very, very good following on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And actually they are in the best position to control their own narrative. Do you know what I'm saying? So there's no shortage of pictures and videos of things that go up every day. And if they really want to tell their story or do something that they think empowers others, they actually can just create that content themselves. They don't need to wait. You know what I'm saying? But that's my point, is people wait for other people to validate what they're doing. I'm like, no, girl, absolutely not. If you want to tell a story, you got 100,000 followers. You can absolutely go tell a story with your iPhone, because we can shoot a movie on these things now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I think that people just have to realize that they have a bigger impact than what they realize. And if they're really trying to say something, which probably why they're not speaking, because they really ain't saying nothing. Do you know what I mean? So it's just kind of all this false, like, reality. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, like, well, why don't people cover women's soccer? Ma'am, you have 100,000 followers. Tell people about women's soccer. How about that? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, just don't wait for people to give you a microphone when you already have one, you know?
Absolutely. Oh. All right. Well, then we're going to give you a chance to do that now.
Oh, for my little tiny followers that I have, my kids.
Your kids, but we want you to be able to talk about that. We think it's important work. So
no, it is important. That's why I have no followers, because no one thinks it's cool. What I do is so not cool, but it's okay because we're here. And so basically what my brand and business is about, it's about education enhancement. And I was telling you guys a little bit about this on our other call. And so for everyone out there, education enhancement means I'm trying to enhance, my favorite word, enhance the learning environment for the alternative learning kids. So the kids who may have been told they have behavioral problems, the ones that come out of juvenile justice systems and such. And so usually they have to go to some type of alternative learning setting because they have behavioral problems, right? So what I'm trying to emphasize is that they do also need the college and career readiness into their curriculum, and it should be strongly emphasized. And, you know, some programs, they have it, but I don't know if it's strongly emphasized, because really the win for that demographic is just getting them a diploma or a GED. And I'm like, well, can we just take it a step further? Right, you know, like, you got to go somewhere. Everyone has to go somewhere. It's either your career when you turn 18, or you're going to some type of extended education. So I have a program that kind of helps them build a pathway to do either, you know, they just got to build it out themselves and give their little booklets that I have to their counselors. So hopefully they can better themselves. Blase, blase. Okay. But that's really the nature of it. It's education enhancement. And they get wristbands and booklets and all types of goodies.
All right. Do you want to shout out the name of your business?
It's called Better.
All right. And then on that note, right, so you talked about, you know, telling your own story, the work that you do. What is it like for you to balance that with your playing career?
See, I don't really think it's that hard because obviously when you play soccer for as long as we do, it does get physically, you know, it's hard, but like over time you understand the workload. And so I think when you understand the workload, it's not as taxing. So you just kind of grind through it. Like, you know what you have to do to be good at, you know, your job, if you will. And then if you have stuff going on outside of my job, which I do, obviously, then I just work everything around, soccer, you know? So it's like, well, I feel like I'm working in like my passion, if you will. Like I have my sport and I have what I think I want to do for the world. So it's really not seen as work to me, okay. You know? So not that it's not difficult, but at the same time, from a mental toughness standpoint, it's pretty much cake.
Cool, cool. Work. Do you know when we get to call you Dr. Sam?
Oh my God, girl, wait, actually, because, you know, I'm so ridiculous. So I have like no experience, but I look really good on paper. Let's just say that. Today I got my Arizona certificate of teaching.
Hey, look at you.
To not be a teacher though, just to like write it down. Because obviously I work in education, air quotes, you know what I'm saying? So they're like, oh, when I start talking, they're like, ma'am, who are you? You're a soccer player. What do you know about freaking teaching kids? I'm like, you're right, I don't. But I have this teacher certificate that says.
Hey, listen.
But I'll take it.
Listen, as somebody who works in higher ed, I'm probably gonna get in trouble for this. There's plenty of people with those certificates who also don't know what they're doing. So,
ooh, and girl, they actually teach. And you know what? I have a heart for the kids. I'm gonna do something good with my little credentials, you know. So I'm like, look, I just need on paper for people to believe me. So that when I start talking, they'll listen. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sometimes you gotta get the paperwork, even if you're never gonna use it, you know. Because that's what they look at.
And that's exactly why I'm suffering through stats and my doctoral.
Ooh, statistics. I'm sorry.
It builds character. It builds character. It shapes
life. That's the engineer. Do you want to do my work?
Get at me. I can make it. I can hook you
girl,
up.
I'm about to just airdrop all this Excel BS that y'all trying to play me.
Hey, if I can't help you, I got connects that can help. See, this is why we build a community here. Because you got to do this. You got to struggle by yourself. Oh, we got God. You. Yeah.
I literally can't.
It takes a village.
Hey, it took a village to get my engineering degree. So it's gonna take it takes a village to get a master's, take a village to get a doctor. Yeah, leverage your village and your people.
Girl,
to build
this
right.
Stats is humbling. Okay.
Yeah, I know. It really builds character. To be like,
why I went to social science and stayed
yo, there, I was in the stats class. I was in the stats class in undergrad where I was like, just get me out. I went to the professor, I was like, look. I got to get out. So we got to figure out how I'm getting out. Out together. We got to get out.
Y'all be real. Because, you know, like to let the world know, and I always tell everybody, like, I'm not like a really good student in terms of like, oh, I'm so smart where I can like regurgitate information. Like, I'm more of the kind of person to like write a 20-page paper. And like,
yes, that's me.
Come on, you know, like that's like me. I'm like connect the concepts and this math and this like, no, y'all can keep that.
You can make it happen like that. You can add a math and the things come together. Now stats.
Girl, where on that graph?
With stats though, statistics, it can be humbling. It can have you questioning life. It can be like, but why? And for why is it? Why do we have to? But you need it. Because you got to prove, you need the statistics to be able to justify stuff.
Because you know why? When I get up out this course, you know who's going to be doing my stats? The person I hire, okay?
There you go,
this whole shebang. I'm going to be like, Excel, whoever's, y'all got to take this and just tell me when I'm spending too much money.
Well, okay. That's real. That's true. But they're like, as you're in school, you have to suffer.
This is such an engineer. I literally said, I don't need a master's that badly because I saw the statistics class. I was like, it's not that serious.
It builds character. Once you get the degree, you'd be like, I ain't got to do that.
Y'all
gonna
be the first to know. You know, I'm going to be so ignorant talking about, I'm not responsible.
You should be. Oh, please brag.
I'm going to be like, Sam, who is Dr. Johnson?
Oh, yeah. Brag. Well, that's what you, yeah. Please don't.
Hey. It's like,
there's still too few black women.
I still carry my diploma from Georgia Tech where I throw it on the table if necessary. So people know. Because you got to. Because I earned a degree, so you gotta know. But yeah,
I give all my stuff to my parents. I'm a lame.
But yeah, also, but yeah, my mom be like, she helped me earn a degree too. Yeah,
I give
but
all my stuff to my parents. So
long story short, you're right. Okay, it's humbling, but look, we need this piece of paper to save these kids.
Yes, so
I'm here for it. Okay, exactly. Y'all?
Exactly. Hey, it's like my mom said, you gotta put like a picture of inspiration. She had like this
motivates you. Yep.
Yeah, like she had like this, it was like this duck getting choked up by a frog or something.
Okay,
whatever, because the frog was, the duck was trying to eat the frog, whatever. Anyway, the point was, you remember, keep fighting to why. Get whatever you
your
want
why.
That's the why. That's the why you
point
need that
was,
inspiration.
Don't let a frog choke you out.
Yeah, I was like, that's the most
right.
So I have additional questions for your mother later on, but that's fine. Hi, mom.
It's a you. It's the adversity builds character. You can see the light in the distance in the tunnel. Whatever.
I tell my students that, but I don't
when you get that, when you get the doctorate, you be like, hey, I'm good. We live in this good life.
For real, I'm gonna feel all types of
celebration.
Yeah, I will feel very good. So I think I have like maybe a year left, but to be fair, the classes aren't really hard. Obviously,
it's not the class, it's the dissertation.
The dissertation piece is fine. It's just this one little, I'm like, no. Yeah. As soon as I get out of stats, I think I will be good, because then I
You'll
get
be good.
Writing what exactly. I'm good at.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We're excited. We're excited. So it's awesome work that you're doing. And like I said, the kids you're looking out for, the students you're looking out for, not everybody does. So it's super important work. And now we're gonna jump into the
Shea Butter freestyle. This fun stuff. Okay, so we're gonna talk about all kinds of things. So what do you like to do as a hobby to sustain your mental health, well-being, or whatever? What do you like to do for fun that you feel free to share with the people?
Okay, again, I'll say something that's just not normal, because I think that everything I do is fun. So when I'm not actually, you know, working on school, trying to save my little kids, you know, doing soccer, honestly, I just sit on the couch and watch Netflix. Like, I just am so chill. And when I'm quote unquote working, it really isn't work to me. So it's fun. Mm-hmm. You know
that's
what
what's up. That's a blessing. Right. That's
what what are you watching right now?
On Netflix, okay, I was being really dark and watching like these crime
doc. It's not like my sister, she's just
and I was watching this one with their like, it's called like Bad Roommate or something.
Oh, with the lady. Ooh.
Okay, so I was like, no more roommates, but yeah. You know, so I was into that for like a second, but you know, you can't go wrong with just your normal Law and Order SVU. You know, Olivia Benson, that's my girl.
Okay, all right, you got like 26 seasons at this point.
You know what? And I've been dedicated since I was a young child.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so do you go rerun if you see something? Do you go back and see it again later, or are you just like I see the movie, see the show?
I'm definitely for shows. I'm definitely just like a one time. Like, I don't need to relive the moment. If it's a movie, obviously, like from, like my favorite movie is Love and Basketball. So I've seen that like 20 times and I can like say all of the lines, you know? So with certain things, I'll rerun them, you know, but mostly now, one and done.
Okay.
All right. But we like that. So are you a foodie, Sam?
No.
That's okay. Well, we have food questions anyway.
You can ask me food questions. I just, you know, I'm not the type of girl to be like all drooling over food and like live for food. I just, my food is mostly like my fuel because of soccer, you know? So I just,
I feel that.
We get that answer a lot from athletes.
Like one day, last week, my dad was like laughing at me because I made these like vegetables and like for some reason I didn't eat that day. I don't know what I was doing. And I had to sit there and just eat all the vegetables, and I was like about to start crying. I was like, this is terrible. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna be like low on iron and I didn't get my right nutrition for the day. And he's like, this is ridiculous. I'm like, I know, my life is ridiculous. Like,
yeah,
but you gotta eat it though. If you gotta
I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I was like, what the hell? But yeah.
Oh no. Do you have a favorite food spot either from like back home or anywhere you've played?
Yeah, so from where I'm from, we have this bomb Mexican place called El Toreo, and I'm gonna be going back there very soon. And then in the world so far, my favorite spot, because I really really like like Lebanese and like Turkish style. So there's a restaurant called Marmara in Melbourne, Australia, and they have like, it's like a, you know, like a one-off, like a family-owned place. So they have like the best lamb. So I'm like,
oh, I love lamb.
I literally get the same thing every single time. Like they know my dish. They know my name. I go there all the time when I'm there. And so I haven't, you know, and I go to all the little Turkish spots when I travel, and I'm just telling Marmara, they got it down. Like until I go to Turkey, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, get the real
Marmara's gonna hold it down. Yeah.
Okay, Marmara. We definitely are taking. We always write down the food suggestions. Okay. All right, yeah, I got to go to that spot whenever I make it to Palmdale. I don't know when that'll be.
Oh, God bless.
She's like, okay, I got a new question, Sky, because I was like, we don't ask people this enough.
Okay,
so, if they made a life about your movie, who would play you? I'm sorry, I made a movie about your life. Wow, who would play you?
What's odd is I got it straight away because I'm low-key dyslexic, but it's fine.
Me too. So we understand each other. Okay.
Okay. If they made a movie about my life, what? Who would play?
Who would play you?
Oh, who would play me? Oh my God. Okay. I'm more likely, if I had to say in, okay, someone who, God, of course, I'm just going to give an answer that's just like not even. See, I'm more likely to like choose, or like if I had to say in casting, to like choose a person that no one knows.
Mm-hmm.
So that person can like use the role as like a breakout role.
Hey, okay.
I'm saying. And I know there's someone out there that's so like edgy and weird and like has a shaved head, tattoos, but like somehow is good at soccer. Like not really, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's so me. And I'm like, that girl that no one's even checking for is walking the streets, like killing it, you know? Okay. So I would put her on the screen.
All right, you would put somebody on. I respect
that. Yeah, I've been like, just give someone like who has like real talent, but no one knows, you know?
Okay.
And you're like, whoa.
All right, I respect
that. All right, that's fire.
Yeah. Mentoring even in your movie role.
That's kind of like me, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, I'm just like this little gem that no one can see. And then one day someone's going to be like, oh, it's gonna seem like I just popped up, and I'm like, girl, I've been here.
Hey, okay,
there you go.
Yeah.
All right. So, what are we gonna start with? Music question? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
We can do that.
Okay. Do you have a pregame playlist?
Not necessarily a playlist that I've like handpicked together. I usually go with like something like reggaeton music. So,
okay.
J Balvin and like Sech, and you know, they have like pretty good like, I guess, you know, that party/reggaeton R&B vibe, you know?
Okay.
I'm not the type of player that needs to be like jumping around and twerking before the game.
Okay.
Which some of my teammates are those people, which is fine. Whatever gets you ready. But I just like to sit there and chill.
Okay.
And then, yeah, do my job.
All right. So whether attacking player or as a defender, if you had, okay, let's say you scored or something, right? Mm-hmm. That would be a shea butter bomb for Black people. And then if you stop something, that's shea butter brick. If you could put some music to either stopping a goal or scoring one, what would be a song? Do you have like a song?
Okay, so scoring a goal would probably be, well, I guess it would probably be like, what's that Little John song? To the window, to the wall. It would be that. I don't know why that just came to my brain. Like if I
score,
something that's extra hype for no reason. Because I never score. So you never hear the song unless it's that. And then if I shea butter brick. What's the other song by Ludacris? Move, bitch,
get out of the way.
Hey. Okay, that's
gonna be playing more often than not. Yeah.
Hey, so would it be cool to? So okay. So, cause like I'm involved with supporter group culture. Would it be cool to have like the people in the stands playing that kind of thing? You know, giving you a little doop, giving you the Luda if you hit a brick. Or you play, it is not.
So you're saying you want people to be playing music?
Yeah, cranking music. Yeah, is that a distraction as a player, or would that be some fun stuff to turn you up while you playing?
I think on the goal side, obviously, if people if they played like a snippet of a song or music, I don't think it would be distracting. I think that would, I don't think the players would notice, to be honest.
Okay.
I think that it would be more fun for the fans because we don't have our sport, just we don't play music and do things like that normally. Do you know what I mean? But I think it would be cool, like obviously outside of like the warm up and stuff, but I think the fans would really enjoy that for sure. Okay. So maybe that's something they could do more often and make it kind of like a thing for each club, you know?
Yeah. Right. Cause I'm trying to swag surf on beat, not paddleboard, not none of this stuff that be happening off the beat, but on the beat. But but speaking of which, would you want to do like a celebration?
Oh yeah, like Discord. Or what's your goal? What is your goal?
I don't celebrate. And even when my team scores, like my forward score, I never celebrate. I don't.
Oh wow. You're because a defender.
I don't even run up and say good job. I just say, I don't do anything because I don't get really excited. I actually get more stressed when we score. That means I can't mess up.
Got you.
Okay. All right.
I'm like, oh God, it's 1-0. If I do anything, we're going to drop points or lose. And it's my fault, you know?
Looking like a center bet.
I'm not going to smile until the whistle blows and we've actually won the game. And then I'll say good job.
Okay. I feel that.
A little dap up.
All right, cool.
Well,
so then let's get into the hits and riffs then. All right, so hits and riffs, if y'all didn't know, is where we celebrate music. Well, that's a lie. We give our favorite songs from today and yesterday, the turnips, in the slow, in the quiet storms, or the slow jams, or the slow songs, or whatever, the baby making music, all that. And so we'll start this off. Wait, do you have Taz?
Yeah, it's in.
I don't have, I got this thing, you know, my bootleg computer, that's hidden.
I see. I have it.
All right, cool. All right, so I'm going to start it off.
Okay.
So my quiet storm from back in the day. After 7, till you do me right. Till you do me right.
Sorry, Sam.
Yo, I was singing that.
Are you singing everyone's songs?
No, I'm not going to sing songs.
She said, are you going to be doing
this
the whole time?
Wait, don't do that. It depends. Although Ty got like 50 billion songs up in there. I saw that like it got 5 songs in the chat. But anyway. And then my turn up is Shake That Monkey. Too short.
Oh my God.
That's what I said.
Featuring Lil Jon, Eastside Boys. Y'all don't know. I know
that song. That's why I said.
Well, we're no longer in a pandemonium, supposedly, allegedly, whatever. That's a lie. But anyway, shout out to Atlanta, hometown. Y'all out here in the streets. The performing arts establishments are back open. Well, they've been open. They ain't closed. But, you know, shout out to Shake the Monkey. Do what you got to do all throughout the seasons. All right.
Wow. I love that we both were like, yo, that's a choice. All right.
Wowzers.
All right. I'll go. I don't think mine is as well.
Do that. You definitely say your quiet storm. Don't do that.
My quiet storm, I realized I had never picked a Jodeci song. So
Look at you.
I went PG on the Jodeci. I did cry for you because there's nothing better than 4 dudes in a desert with leather on begging. So quintessential 90s begging song. So Jodeci. And then the turn up is Lil Wayne, problematic fave. A Millie.
Boom, boom. All right, Sam.
Oh, my turn. Okay. Quiet Storm. Mariah Carey and Busta Rhymes.
Okay.
What you want? My favorite star is Mariah Carey, so duh.
Oh, that's acceptable.
Hey,
we love Mariah.
Yeah. What was the other
thing? Turn up.
Oh well, the turn up. Yeah, so it's more like my new age stuff, like my reggaeton stuff. There's a song by Ozuna called "Criminal," and it's very, you know, lively. There's another one by J Balvin called "Safari," and it's featured with Pharrell. It's actually quite good. And then I guess I have 2 quiet storms because I really love "I'm Real" by J-Lo and
John. I'm real.
Nope. She said, don't do that.
You know, this is my humble space, my centered space. So when someone tries to tell me I'm otherwise, I just blast that and be like,
okay,
that's what's up.
Yeah. You gotta have a song like that. It just helps you.
Yeah, you have to have a song to center yourself, you know? Yes.
Or I feel absolutely. That.
All right. Scott, do you want to do your new ones? And then I'll share out mine and Ty's.
Okay. So my my new one, where were we at?
I don't know. Right. I don't know what your song.
Okay. So my quiet storm is not really a quiet storm because I still get hype. Because actually, when I get pissed off. when I get pissed off, so the internet, this particular album by the internet had me emotional in my feelings okay. when I had broke up with somebody. Anyway, okay. The Getaway by the internet. Let's go. All the time. Sid, you out here.
Yeah, I like Sid from the internet.
Mad, okay. mad props to Getaway. And then my turn up is Moneymaker by Ludacris. Because mm-hmm. again, a dedication to shaking that money, to shaking that thing, making that money. But anybody out here, you can be in the streets. You, if you got to walk because you're on your Chevrolet's, because the gas prices are $6, then you got to like shake that Moneymaker.
Chevrolet.
Chevrolet. Oh, okay. Sometimes it's not a Chevrolet. You're on your Chevrolet's.
I wasn't prepared for that.
A good thing I'm sitting down. Legs are weak, girl. I can't.
Screw it. I do not have Meg Thee Stallion knees, so yeah.
That's awkward. Hey, that's been gone.
I do yeah. not. I pull things when I get out of bed, so like it is. Hey,
because you antique. I'm a little
ancient. Don't do that. We're the same age. Don't let her lie to you.
If we're not the same age.
Okay, you're older.
Okay.
Stop. Okay, my turn-ups for today is Knife Talk.
Wow.
Aubrey and 21 Savage.
You call that man Aubrey.
That is his name.
Government. That's so rude.
Sorry, Drake.
Damn.
I mean, he has a lot of money he can cry into if I hurt his feelings. So yeah. It's okay. And then Project Pat. I saw on Twitter like sometime last year, somebody didn't know who Project Pat was and it hurt. So a lot of good times there. And then my quiet storm is I'm on a Mooney Long kick, so Time Machine.
Wow. Okay, I see.
Yeah, she's bringing a little bit of R&B back. I respect it. And then we're gonna share Uncle Ty's list of songs.
Uncle Ty
list of songs. So his quiet storm throwback is the OJ's Forever Mine. This is a good song. Wow. Okay. I know. He also threw in woo. Grown folks stuff, Usher Climax. It's a good song. Oh and then I'm thinking his turn up is Sinner. I don't know.
No. His turn up is down here. He put like 4-5 songs.
He did. Okay. Other quiet storms are he did. He gave us enough for a couple shows. Edekunle, Gold, and Lucky Day is Sinner.
Okay.
And then Nippy, the GOAT, Whitney Houston, I Have Nothing. Turn-ups are ZFTO by Big Sean, Detroit's okay. Finest. Major, Young Dolph, rest in peace. Welcome to the Party, Pop Smoke, rest okay. in peace, right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And then
Booty Work.
Ty, what are we doing? Booty Work.
I have to put the what's in parentheses, though.
Once you get a time. I'm going to say it because he put it there.
Like what was that? That's too much technicality there.
One cheek.
Is
he serious?
Yo, I could, it made sense though, because I could hear the song in my head, and then I was like, okay, one cheek.
Because you wouldn't know the song unless you had the
print. He wanted to emphasize though. Apparently.
Oh my god.
Oh, honey.
Yo.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Well, that's it. Well,
yeah, okay. We want to be like we said, respectful of your time. And before we do our shout outs and close out the show, is there anything else you'd like to share or promote? Shout out to the people.
Right. No. I'm all good. Thank you for having me, though.
Thank you for coming through. Yeah, thank you for giving us your time. We truly appreciate it. Check out Better. Check out Sam's Instagram. You will find out a lot of her work because she does post, but she does. And it's consistent.
Very consistent, okay. Yes,
you are very consistent. And there's also some soccer stuff on there too. But yes, please check out Better and all the great work that Sam is doing. And we're gonna turn up next year when we get Dr. Sam. As a WOSO community, we're gonna turn up.
I'm gonna come with my resume on the next show.
Hey, we can do that. We'd be like,
we're here. We're here.
Certificates, whatever y'all got.
We got connects. Hey, so you family now. We got you.
I know some. I work in higher ed. I do know some people. So
yeah, we got mad connects.
We have to really. Oh, you know what? In terms of, we didn't really talk about which we can and representation and how actually real that is in terms of education, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we touched on it in our first call, but how I really, I'm doing all this work, God, slaving over these degrees, only so I can stand in front of the children and be like, see y'all, like, yep, some of them are just like you, so don't give me no freaking excuses.
You know, if you can see it, you can be it.
You know?
Yes, that's real, that's real.
But you gotta see it.
You gotta be able to see it. Okay. So you can plan your work and work your plan. So you can see the light. So you can see the people. You gotta be able to see yourself.
You're blocked, Skylar.
No, that's like a part of the, why not do me like that?
You take your Chevrolet and your 1, 2, 3 lighters and you just go have a seat right here. I can't, not on this Sunday. I'm supposed to be resting. You got me out here working, my stomach is hurting, I'm laughing too hard.
I'm not here serious. Sills will tell you, and I'm like this all the time.
And that is why I'm laughing so hard. You are dead serious.
Oh. Yes.
Oh, yeah, we got you. We got you. We appreciate you coming through. For sure, for sure. Absolutely. So, we got to get our shout outs in. So,
yes.
Shout out to the Diaspora United, the tallest people in pod, Courtney and Andre. They are going to kill us. We got a crossover with them.
Yes.
In the next few days. And then Two Cents Family, all these people. All the
so many.
People.
They keep adding people. It's a lot.
Yeah. So, Can I Kick It, Yogi? Much appreciated for having me on the Black Supporter.
That was a great episode.
Combo. All the Black Supporter groups, all the people out there. We see y'all. We feel y'all. Much love to y'all in the community building across the soccer space. FTC United, all the Black people. It's like 50 billion of y'all. Grego, Tony.
Stop adding people, y'all. We can't keep doing this.
All the people that we don't even know, they're people we don't even know are part of the FTC United family.
What is this number? I'm sorry.
little sis Kaya McCullough, although unfiltered on pause, it will be back.
Yes.
You better be coming with me to this game on Saturday.
That sounds personal. All right.
and then Two Cents, Lord Ty, Lord L. Much appreciated to y'all. Moby.
Happy birthday, Amobi.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Amobi. We can play what's the birthday? We gotta pick a birthday song. But then and then the Shea Butter team.
Yeah.
Nubia and Georgia. Much appreciated for all the stuff y'all do. Help us out on the social media space and everything in between.
That's all I got. And just on this Sunday, we just obviously shouted out Amobi, so happy birthday to that. And I also just want to say, continue to rest in peace, Breonna Taylor. So
word,
the anniversary. So that's all we got.
All right, so what we gonna do? We gonna stay hydrated,
stay melanated.
We gonna make sure the Black women in your life are celebrated,
and make sure your shea butter bombs are always elevated.
And that's it. Peace and blessings. Have a blessed week. Actually, you will hear from us again later this week. But anyway,
thank peace you. Out. And thank you, Sam. And thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Sam. Bye, y'all.
Bye.